All right, hour two is upon us. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. And again, thank you all for listening and your support in my ranting and raving in the last hour. I'm a little calmer. I actually walked out of here a few minutes ago and I was sweating. So you had me all riled up. So the ladies are with me now. I'll get settled down. We'll talk some just investment strategies and things that go on in the real estate world, your home and so on. K&R Home Transitions, Catherine and Robin both are with me today. So ladies, welcome. Robin, you're to my left. Start with you.
Hi, everybody.
How are
you? Glad to be here. We're good. We're both good.
Thank you for joining us. And thank you guys also for coming in studio. It's always easier versus phone and so on. And I know that not everybody can do that. So thank you very much for taking the drive and coming in. So appreciate it very much. Catherine, you too. Thank you.
And you're very welcome. Although it was a little bit, you know, death-defying on the roads today with like wind out there.
Oh, the wind is. I'm done with the wind. It could leave. I feel like I live in Wyoming. Sorry, guys, up in Wyoming, but I feel like
hey,
I live in Wyoming.
I have to tell you a wind story.
Let's hear it.
My husband called me yesterday. He got his hair cut, and he was coming home on Parker Road, and it was so windy. He was following a porta potty truck, and they're going back and forth, and the straps broke. All the porta potties fell off, and he said, "Honey, it was like porta potty pinball."
Oh my word!
And like he's weaving
through all of them.
Yes.
Oh my word!
My first question was, were they empty?
Let's hope. All right, let's talk real estate. And as you guys know, even since we talked the last time, it's been a couple of weeks since we talked. You know, interest rates, you know, went up a half a point since we talked last. We kind of knew that was coming, so there wasn't any huge shocks there. But today, you know, even the Feds came out today and basically said, you know, there's only two things that we really can control in the economy: housing and cars, which, by the way, are the two largest things people spend money on a regular basis, which, again, is partially why they can affect those two, because most people don't pay cash for either.
Right.
I hate to say that, but most don't. They usually borrow them, and that's why the Feds know they can control those types of purchases with what they do with interest rates.
Right.
Yes.
And they are dead set on making an impact on those two markets. Now, unfortunately, or fortunately, depending upon how you look at it, I don't think they're as all-knowing and have as far a reach as they may think they do. Now, I also know that what we're going to talk about today, we're going to talk, by the way, everybody listening, we're going to talk Colorado today. I know we've got folks that listen in, you know, western Kansas and Nebraska and way up north, even in Colorado and Wyoming. And I'm going to focus today on this Front Range area because it's what I know best, and I've got some feelings as to what's going to happen along the Front Range. That doesn't mean that it's going to apply to every corner of the state and even some of the areas that we're talking about, because I do believe some of what the Fed is doing will have an impact on a nationwide basis, but I also think here in Colorado, we're sort of our own little microcosm of what's going on in the country. Am I right or wrong?
I would agree with that, yeah.
I got two that agree.
Yeah, awesome. Definitely. Yeah, Colorado is definitely a new destination place, and I think there's a lot of people moving here. And, I think they're definitely going to be different from other states, as you clarified, you know, just talking about Colorado and the Front Range.
And again, let me back up. We're a desirable place to live.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And what's happened, and for all of you listening, some of you would say, well, what's different now versus, you know, I'm a native. I've been here, I'll be 58 this year, so I've been here 58 years, so I'm a native. And some of you would say, well, John, what's different today versus what it was even 20 years ago? I'll tell you, folks, one thing is different. It's called social media. This is my view. What's made Colorado become a destination place is social media. People getting online, talking about all the things they do in Colorado. Biking, hiking, snowmobiling, fishing, skiing. I mean, I can go down the list. Everything but ocean activities, for the most part, we have in Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
And people know we have, you know, clean air and we have, you know, clean skies and our rivers are clean. I mean, you look around and it's pretty doggone place, pretty nice doggone place to live. And my point is, social media has sort of gotten that word out that, A, especially in this Front Range area, it doesn't snow near as much as what TV makes it seem like.
Yeah, when you say to somebody, I remember I came from Texas, and I said, oh, I'm going to Colorado. And the first thing they said to me, oh, it snows there. It's terrible. It's terrible. You know, I came here, and you know, it snows, and it's gone in the afternoon or the next morning.
Correct.
There's but no you snow can left. Find it. You can
but
find
you can,
it
that's
easy.
Right. But you can, if you yeah. want but snow, you can find. So
just
again,
go to the mountains.
We have both sides. So my point, folks, is the reasons why there are so many people coming to Colorado. And yes, I know there's some politics and things that are involved, but I'll tell you first, my own first impressions are that's a side note. They're coming because of the quality of life that's here that they're now seeing literally all over social media because people that live here are that tight, by the way. Keep that in mind. Mm-hmm. We are in an area here where there are a lot of that age group that are very active in that world, thereby TikToking, Facebooking, Instagramming, Snapchatting. I mean, I go down the list of the things that are out there that these individuals can use. And by the way, I'm talking people that are probably in their teens all the way up to their 60s because they're all using those platforms talking about the things they do outside.
And there's Absolutely. Great companies here as well. So you can have an amazing work-life balance.
You can. So,
yeah, and I want to add to that as well. You're saying that some of that is social media. I also think there's a large percentage because of, you know, COVID and everything else that happened. A lot of people have gone into remote work.
Agree.
And Colorado is a great place. DIA has many destinations you can get to from there. So if Agree. People have to travel for work, even internationally, it's very convenient to do so. It's very convenient to get to the east or west coast from Denver.
Right.
And I think a lot of people are looking at where can I go, where I can work remotely, have a good quality of life, but it's easy for me to hop on the plane and go somewhere if I need to be an in-person attendee at a meeting.
One of those places, by the way, used to be, I say used to be because I think people are even leaving there, but it used to be Atlanta, Georgia was another big mm-hmm. place that folks would
yes,
go to.
Big hub.
It was another big hub on the airline end of things. You could pretty much get anywhere in the country in about 3 hours. It was sort of one of those areas where if you wanted to live but still travel around and work mm-hmm. and so on, you could do that. Problem is you had to live in Atlanta, Georgia. Sorry, Atlanta, but Denver's better than Atlanta. I've been to Atlanta.
They have more bugs than we do.
They have humidity and bugs.
But I think the central location, one of my neighbors just moved here from California, and the reason is he has one of his kids in St. Louis and one's in Texas, and he says it's a lot easier to visit being here.
As much as a lot of us, even natives, complain about our airport and where it's located, I'm one of those. When it's all said and done, and some of the other cities I've been to where their airports and such are, and even the airport layout itself, ours is pretty tough to beat, folks.
Yeah, I think so as well.
If you travel around at all and look at some of the other airports and what they have, ours actually is pretty doggone good, actually, at the end of the day.
And it'll be even better when they finish the renovation.
I didn't even get into that. So you're correct. No, you're
Maybe
right.
Maybe we shouldn't go there.
Well, because it's again, I think it's going to add even more to what you just said mm-hmm. because people are figuring out that yes, I can live in Denver. I can have a good job in Denver. I can still travel for work, do all the other things that I need to do. And oh, by the way, if I've got family anywhere else in the country, I can still be where I need. You know, I can go see them within a half a day typically. So I'm good.
Absolutely. And you look at the growth. I mean, if you even go out to Denver, you see how many hotels have popped up there around that vicinity of the airport. How many, businesses have popped up since I'm a transplant. I can't say I'm a native, but even since I've been living here, there's been a tremendous growth. Housing development.
I mean, your accent
everything.
Gives that away? You didn't grow up here?
Yeah, I'm not from Texas. But yeah, I mean, you just see the growth going out there.
Yes.
I mean, it's vast.
Okay, one of the things I wanted to talk about today, and reason why I wanted to bring you gals back in and do this on a routine basis as well, is, and I'll set this up, we'll come back and talk about this after the break, but that's getting people to, we'll talk about the rental market here at some point today, but the next out, how they can use their own home to build wealth.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know there's a lot of folks out there that would disagree with me on that. Even some financial advisors would say, no, John, a house is always a liability. Not always. Not always.
Correct.
And I'll prove that when we come back. It really is a mindset change when it comes to your home and how you view it. And is it a house or is it a home? Because, by the way, home is anywhere we make it.
Yeah. Is
the
it
structure
a, is
a house.
Is it an asset or somewhere you're
it is
emotionally involved?
Your largest investment in many cases.
All right. We're going to come back and talk about that. Yeah. So don't go away again. The ladies from K&R are with me today. Speaking of, though, when it comes to mortgages, all of what we're going to talk about today when it comes to housing, yes, typically involves a mortgage. I know some people pay cash, but very, very few do. So most of you will need a mortgage. And Kurt, by the way, I believe is one of the best mortgage brokers on the planet. He's done my stuff now for 6-7 years. I have the all-in-one loan, which if you don't know what that is, go talk to Kurt about it. He'll explain. In my opinion, it's the best thing going. Talk to Kurt today, 720-895-0500.
Want to keep making your 30-year payment but own in 15 years? Want to be able to access your equity for future needs and not pay for it now? Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. We have been showing Coloradans how to own their home in less time without changing their 30-year payment. Home values are at the highest in their history. Take advantage of being able to access your equity for 10, 20, 30 years without making payments now. Take AIM, 720-895-0500. Worried about inflation? Everything getting too expensive? Learn how to be able to access your equity without having to refinance and pay closing costs over and over and over. Do it once and you're good for 30 years. Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. Tired of paying too much interest to own your home? Stop! Learn how to lower your total interest cost, 720-895-0500. Locally owned and operated since 2001, and where it's all about you is not just our motto, it's who we are. NMLS 298-191, regulated by DORA.
Absolute Electrical Heating and Air, folks, is next. And I talked earlier about balancing the air in your house, and you can do that with one of their fan systems. It's an attic fan, but not like the old attic fans where it's would suck your toupee off if you got near it. No, not that at all. It's much different, much more efficient. Ask about it, 720-526-0231, or find them at klzradio.com.
You spend a lot of money on your furnace. Now make sure your investment pays off for years to come. Sign up for an Absolute Advantage membership to maintain your HVAC systems. Now free to KLZ listeners for the first year. Call 720-526-0231. The team at Absolute Electrical Heating and Air provides long-term customer service, meaning they don't focus on a one-time sale. They want to become your preferred home services partner for the lifetime of your furnace and beyond. To prove their commitment, they're offering free Absolute Advantage memberships to KLZ listeners for the first year, a $369 value. Receive waived dispatch fees during normal business hours, discounted after-hours service fees, a free yearly furnace maintenance and safety inspection, and more. Sign up for the Absolute Advantage membership now. Call 720-526-0231.
For quality and service beyond compare, call Absolute Electrical Heating and Air.
All right, folks, Hi-Fi Plumbing is next. In fact, I didn't mention this, but I just found out today that they won the Small Business of the Year Award for 2022 from the Denver Metro Chamber of Commerce. So they are 10 years in business, celebrating their 10th year, I should say. They have financing, which I don't think I've ever said as well. So if you've got a big project you need done, they can help you out in that way. And don't forget about all the outdoor projects some of you may want to do, outdoor kitchens, hose bibs, things along those lines. There's lots of things they can help you with. Just call, get them out, and walk through whatever it is you want done. 877-WE-HIGH-5, 877-WE-HIGH-5, or find them at klzradio.com.
Water is your number one enemy in your home. You need to solve the problem immediately so it doesn't get worse. You need a great plumber yesterday. High Five Plumbers believe you shouldn't have to clear your schedule or wait on a technician all day because they consider your time valuable. They bring all the right parts they need for the job so they can get it done right the first time they show up. With their GPS tracking system, you'll feel at ease knowing exactly how close your High Five Plumber actually is. You need to know what the problem is and how much it will cost. When they can't get out there in 12 to 24 hours, they can video call you to diagnose the problem remotely with High Five Live. Their coverage area is a little past Longmont and down to 6th Avenue. They also have a Littleton location that will service all the way out to Castle Rock. So schedule service with High Five Plumbing. Because you don't want a boring old handshake, you need a high five. Call 877-WE-HIGH-5. That's 877-934-4445.
All right, we're back. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. The ladies from K&R Home Transitions, Catherine and Robin, are with me today. By the way, you can find them. Just go to their website, knrhometransitions.com, or also on any of our websites, rushtoreason.com, klzradio.com, wherever. Just go. You'll find them. It's really simple. And if you need any advice on anything, just go ask them. And I always say you get two for the price of one. Now, we're going to get into the investment side of your house. I'm always careful to say house versus home, because home is anything you make it. You can make a tent trailer a home, okay? Mm-hmm. Home is what you make for your family and you and so on. A house is the roof over your head.
Correct.
Now, I know there's a lot of individuals out there, ladies mostly, some men though, that you get really attached. This is where I raised my kids, and this is where this happened. There's all sorts of memories. Yeah, there is. I get that. But at the end of the day, are you more worried about memories or retiring someday and actually being able to help those kids you raised financially because you've got the wherewithal to do so? All those memories are great, but would you not rather have the memories and then have the ability to help them on down the road when they need it versus not being able to?
Yeah. And you know, the other thing that's interesting about that is they're afraid to sell the house because the kids might want it.
Nobody wants that house.
No, they
You're
don't.
The only one that wants it.
They don't.
I'm being honest, folks. Very, very seldom do the kids want the house. There are rare exceptions, I know, I get. But in general, Robin, you're dead on. They nobody else wants it.
Unless they can sell it.
They'll take it and sell it,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, and put the money in
their
pocket.
But typically they're not going to take it and live in it. Because keep in mind, our kids don't have the same memories of the home you do. So everybody has a different memory there, some good, some bad. And what I'm trying to get at is the memories are already in your head. They're in pictures. They're in other things. You don't need the physical house to keep those memories. And where I'm going with this is, and I've talked about this before, but I want to keep reminding folks this, because by the way, most accountants don't even tell you this. I'm just sorry to say they don't. Every single one of us that pays taxes in this great United States of America has the ability every 2 years to sell your primary residence and have zero capital gains, providing that if you're single, it doesn't go over $250,000 in gain, in profit, or if you're married, $500,000. And the gain, by the way, is figured off of the initial purchase price of the house minus whatever it costs you to sell the house and certain fix-ups you do to the house early on.
Yeah, it's the yes. net amount.
Right.
It's the net amount.
It's the
yes.
net amount of profit is what that capital gains is figured on.
So as a good reminder out there for anybody buying a home, or if you've just bought a home or anything, keep detailed records
yes.
of what you spend, what you put
keep
in your
journal.
House. Any improvements,
That's right.
keep receipts, put it on a spreadsheet, because you will need it when you go to sell that
property. And by the way, the 5 year you can throw the receipt away thing doesn't go here.
No.
Okay, so if you own that home 10 years, this is the voice of experience talking, by the way. If you own that home 10 years and your basis, they call it, in other words, you paid X amount of money for the home, but you maybe did all the landscaping because it came with none. Mm-hmm. And maybe you redid the basement at the same time that you did all that landscaping. So maybe you paid $500,000 for the home, but now you put another $100 into it. So your basis now is $600, not $500. But you have to prove, to Catherine's point, mm-hmm. that $100 that you put into the home. And again, you've got to have receipts. I don't care if it's 15 years later.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
you better hang on to those. Have them in a folder. Keep them with that house file until you move on out of that house.
Or just scan them into your computer and keep
Good
the
idea.
Records that way. And then you have a hard copy. And
I would do both.
Yeah.
But yes.
Absolutely. Because a lot of those receipts fade over time.
Yes.
And, you know,
especially those ones that are on that funky paper.
Exactly.
yes. Do both.
Yeah.
Or take pictures. Whatever you need to do. Scan them. Take pictures. I don't care. Just have copies. So if the Mr. Taxman ever shows up and says, hey, Catherine, mm-hmm. prove that 100 in improvements here.
Yeah.
And the other thing, too, that, by the way, I know this works from experience. Pictures where you may not even have all of your receipts, but you can show bare dirt and a finished landscape afterwards.
Uh-huh.
There are formulas that they even have per square foot on what they know it takes to get that done.
Yeah.
So even showing them, this is when we moved in, date stamped. Here's when, you know, here's when we were done. date stamp. Yeah, again, exactly. This is not rocket science, but yes, keep all of those receipts when it comes to what you put into the property.
Absolutely. And a major one here I've noticed in Colorado as well is windows. Definitely keep receipts for all your windows. They're not cheap to put windows in, and it's not something you would totally recognize straight away and just think, oh, well, yeah, I just did the windows. I had metal windows when I moved in. I put vinyl windows in, and you know, that was an improvement I chose to make. Well,
right.
Those are expensive, especially if you're doing the whole house, and it's definitely keep those receipts.
Correct.
For sure.
Now, some things are not... cannot be figured into the basis. I would still keep track of everything and then let somebody that is a tax expert figure out what is and isn't. For example, I don't think if you paint, that's considered a major upgrade.
No, if you're doing normal maintenance, so you're painting or, you know, you
fixing a sprinkler. Or
right.
Yeah,
something right.
Like
no,
that.
That's right. No, exactly. Now, if you re-roof, that's
that's
major improvement.
Yeah.
So those are biggies.
Yeah.
So these are the things I'm talking about that you need to keep track of. Point being, we've had enough appreciation over the past several years, and I think in Colorado, given what we just said in the last segment, there's still going to be more coming in Colorado. The reality is you can have a up to $500,000 profit with no taxes owed. I'm going to say that again. Make sure you all understand this. $500,000 gain with no taxes owed. And no, you do not have to buy a more expensive home to recognize that. That's an old wives' tale, or it's from way back. I don't even know where that came from. Maybe some of you expert accountants can share with me and tell me where that came from. But the rule isn't that you have to buy, because what people used to think is, well, as long as I buy a more expensive home, there's no taxes owed. Not true.
No, absolutely.
Not true.
Absolutely.
If you sell the home and you've got more than a $500,000 gain, you're going to pay capital gains tax in whatever that is for that year. Based upon the bracket that you're in, you're going to pay that, in some cases, 25% right now, 25%. So if you made, I think it's 20 if it's 100. So if you made 100 grand, let's say, so you sold it for six over the five. So there's 100 grand gain there. You owe $20,000 in taxes, folks, out of that 100 grand.
Exactly.
Yes, capital
exactly.
gain.
Capital gains tax is 20 grand. So all of this needs to be factored in, especially when you go to sell. And again, we'll get into some of the mistakes I think folks make when they do some of these fix-up things as well. But the point being, when you've got an instrument, your house, whereby you can make up to $500,000 tax-free every 2 years, why don't more of you do it?
And I think, though, the whole point is you're encouraging people to look at the house differently.
Yes.
This is not your little...
I'm not living here forever.
...picket fence, I'm living here forever. This is an investment. It's a financial tool. And, you know, you look at it in terms of everything it does for you. Because, number one... you get mortgage interest deduction, so you get help every single year on your income taxes.
Right.
You have growth in it, equity growth, every single year that's not recognized.
That's
and in Colorado, that's been huge. I mean, where else, what other investment can you get 18 to 20%? You also have, in a sense, and I wouldn't use this as like the Christmas club, but you have an emergency fund or a savings fund in there which you can use to maybe leverage investment properties, to do some of these improvements, things like that. As you get older, if you're having trouble with money or you need income, you can use a reverse mortgage on it. And so this is a phenomenal store of wealth.
That's right. And most people aren't tapping into it. That's my whole point. And that's where you guys come in, because you can help with all of what I'm referring to, selling your current home, buying the next home, buying an investment property, whatever. You guys can help with all of that. Joe, what's going on, sir?
John, I've got a situation I'm dealing with now, which, you know, for people who have older parents, the $500,000 is normally more than adequate, but if let's say your parents...
Not always.
But I'll tell you when it really bites you. And so let's say your parents, you know, bought their primary home 20 years ago for $150,000, and today it's, you know, it's worth $550,000. Okay, well, that's a $400,000 gain.
They're fine,
except if your parents are aged and one of your parents passes away this year, if you don't sell the house this year and the surviving spouse waits till next year, then the exclusion drops to $250,000.
That's right. They got to do it while they're still married. That's right. On a married return.
Well, right. Well, so if one of your parents passes away this, you know, so mm-hmm. if you were in a fortunate situation, and I've got a family situation where a parent has passed away recently, the surviving parent has to sell that house this year.
That's
otherwise,
right.
They're going to owe a ton of money.
You're correct.
If they wait till next year. So it's one of those sad things you don't want to talk about.
No, but Joe, it needs talked about because most people don't think about it until it shows up. All right, let me rephrase that. They don't think about it until after they've waited 2 or 3 years. Then mom decides or grandma decides to finally sell the home. Maybe grandpa passed away 3 years ago. Now there's this huge capital gain that nobody realized.
Exactly. So again, if you're in your 50s and your parents are in their 70s, or if you're in your 40s and your grandparents are in
That's
their
right.
80s, it's something that needs to be talked about upon the death of one of the grandparents or one of the parents.
I'm glad you said that because that's a big one, Joe. That really, I mean, you think about that, and again, Joe, you're kind of like me. You've done similar things with your homes over the years, like I have, and have recognized some of these things and have done that and built some wealth through that. And the last thing you want to do is pay all that back in taxes.
Exactly, and you know, I lived in my place and I bought a piece of dirt. I bought 36 acres of dirt in Larkspur back in 1994. And when I sold that place, it sold for well over $1 million. So trust me, I every year I kept a file. First, I had I kept all the canceled checks for the construction costs.
There you go.
You know what I pay. You know, so I had all the construction costs. But then over the year, you know, I had a 300-foot driveway, blacktop. You know, all the receipts, canceled checks. I had a
that one counts.
Built a barn.
Counts.
Put a roof in the barn. Had gravel trucked in. Had the arena built. Put footing and sand in the arena.
Those are all major improvements, is what they call them.
Yes.
Tore down the old redwood deck and put up a stone column, concrete deck with powder mm-hmm. coat iron railings. Finished the basement for about $65,000. So I had a big. Now I did scan everything, but I had a separate file folder called capital improvements, and everything I put in there I would scan first, so I had an electronic copy and then
perfect.
I had a hard copy.
Perfect.
And canceled checks, I noted how it was paid for, if it was paid for with a Visa card, I had Visa, who the supplier was, what the invoice number was, what the amount was. So even if I lost those records, I still had the soft copy. I could go back to the
perfect.
Vendor and say, on this date, this was the supplier, this was the invoice number, and if I had to pull up my old Visa records, here's the Visa charge.
Awesome. Awesome. That's how you do it, guys. That's it. Easy.
All right, guys.
Joe, thank you. And by the way, thank you for that tip, too, because that's something else that I think ladies, even with our parents or sometimes as grandparents, you tend to forget. It's like, oh, well, there's that exemption. It's not a big deal. Well, until, like Joe says,
Absolutely.
One passes.
Yes. I'd just like to say as well, just going back to that point, I believe he said his mother passed about a year ago, or the father passed, one of the parents anyway. And that's why it's really important to get a date of death appraisal on the property as well.
Yeah, and something else too, that for all the listeners, I'm sitting here with a yellow binder because we want to have good information for folks. And all the stuff that we talk about in the tax ramifications, there, for what Joe brought up, there are two really good IRS publications. One is 523, and that will talk about selling your home and all the ramifications. And the other one is 530, which is tax information for homeowners. And, I reviewed both of them last night, and they will talk about that exact situation when one spouse passes away.
Yep. So, again, folks, there's a lot of facets to this. I think a lot of folks have, I know a lot of folks have huge misconceptions on how this works, because for years people just thought, well, as long as I buy a more expensive home, there's no taxes owed. Nothing could be farther from the truth. And again, and this is what, by the way, this is what a lot of even like owners of construction companies will do. They will build their own personal residence, build it out the way they want.
Right.
They'll live in that for a couple of years because guess what? About the time they're done and they move into this one, they're already on to
the next one
because it'll take that long to build the next one and sell the one they have now. So all of that is almost like this revolving door. And keep in mind, every single time a builder does that, they've got a $500K potential tax-free. Name a business mm-hmm. out there where you can get a $500K tax-free
profit.
Profit.
Yeah, exactly.
They don't exist, folks.
That's why it's called the property ladder.
So we'll talk more about that. Bob, I know you're waiting too. We'll come right back to you. Don't go anywhere. Golden Eagle is up next. Speaking of all of these finances and planning and so on, Al Smith, who's really good at this as well, can take everything we're talking about, figure out how that works into your plan for the future. KLZradio.com, 303-744-1128.
Maintain your budgeting momentum for retirement. Once you begin good financial habits, you're more likely to continue them. If you procrastinate, you're likely to continue procrastinating. A good plan will help your financial momentum, allowing you to see numerical projection of what it's going to take. Al Smith of Golden Eagle Financial will help you strategize a great retirement plan that will include a clear picture of where you are now and an image of what you want your future to look like and include the steps necessary to get you there. With Al Smith's help, you'll learn how much you need to save in order to achieve your financial goals. Provide yourself with income that will last with the momentum of good habits. Al Smith can help people who are newly retired or have a 5 to 10 year window before leaving the labor force. You need to be realistic about your retirement with financial planning from Al Smith at Golden Eagle Financial. Visit klzradio.com/money to maintain or establish budgeting momentum for your retirement.
All right, Extreme Auto Repair folks, keep that vehicle in top working order. It's how you save money at the pump is, again, proper maintenance. We talk about it on homes. It's the same on your vehicle. KLZradio.com, 303-841-1071.
As a small business owner yourself, you can't afford to have one of your company vehicles out of commission for long. Every hour of downtime costs you more money because you can't serve your own customers. Extreme Auto Repair offers the transparency of a family-owned shop with the turnaround times of the big guys. You'd prefer to work exclusively with a family-owned auto repair shop because they offer more relational service, emphasizing long-term maintenance over making a quick buck. But many local shops don't have the capacity to service all your vehicles, including your fleet. The average family-owned shop has maybe 6 to 8 bays. They offer limited services because they don't have the space. With 20 fully operational bays, Extreme Auto Repair has the flexibility to maintain your fleet quickly, including DOT inspections. The service you want, the services you need. Extreme Auto Repair in Parker. Find them now at klzradio.com/extreme.
Catherine and Robin can help you take control of your foreclosure, positioning your home to sell for a higher price so you keep the leftover equity. In the past, the Denver metro area would see maybe 5 foreclosures per week. Recently, around 100 homes enter foreclosure every week. Searching online for help, you will find a lot of companies that only offer one solution. Filing for bankruptcy may help some people, but bankruptcy merely postpones the problem. A short sale can become a long, drawn-out process without improving your credit for the future. You need an advocate who will give you options for a more prosperous future, because one size doesn't fit all. Catherine and Robin will provide objective recommendations based on your situation. Thanks to KLZ's real estate team, homeowners who would have lost everything ended up with money in their pockets. Call Catherine Pickering and Robin Lewis Oglesby of K&R Home Transitions now at 720-437-8210. Powered by Worth Clark Realty.
All right, and speaking of K&R, they are with me today. Catherine and Robin both are in studio, so if you have questions for them, please call in 303-477-5600. You can text as well, and I apologize, I've been ignoring the text lines. I've had a lot going on. I know there's a lot of messages. I will read those here in a moment, never fear. 307-200-8220 is our text line. Bob and Thornton, what's going on, sir?
Hey, this is my second call.
It's all right.
Anyway, let me present two scenarios here.
Okay.
So I'm in my 70s now, and I'm sitting on a house that's virtually paid for. So I can do one of two things. I can quit claim this house to my heirs and say, oh, okay, well, you own the house now, and I'll impoverish myself, and I'll go on to Medicaid for my long-term care. Well, I'm going to tell you something, John. I don't want to do that. I worked a whole lifetime to be comfortable in my working years and my elder years, so I'm not going to do that. Here's the other thing that you can do. It's called a beneficiary deed of trust. I don't care if I bought my house 50 years ago for $100,000 and it's worth $10 million now. I record, and it's a $2 document, and you record it in the county. It's called a beneficiary deed of trust. When I kick the bucket, whoever I decide is my beneficiary, they take the property at the day of the value that I die, and the depreciation schedule starts all over again. Mm-hmm. That's the way to go.
Yeah, and providing you're under the whole cap for inheritance tax and so on, you'd be fine, yes.
Yeah, no. Full step up.
No, it has nothing to do with the $500,000.
No, level. What I'm saying, though, Bob, is there's a, I can't remember, I think it's like $12 million for estate tax now. As long as you're under that, yes, you're fine. But if you've got enough other assets and that, and you get over the $12 million, they're still paying taxes on the estate.
If I file a beneficiary deed of trust.
Doesn't matter. They're still recognizing. Trust me, Bob, the IRS is going to recognize the gain somewhere on somebody.
Yeah. No, you're wrong, John. If I record a beneficiary deed of trust and I kick the bucket tomorrow morning,
mm-hmm.
where I have no indicated as the beneficiary deed of trust person, they take possession of the house at its current value and the basis starts that day.
Yeah, what you're talking about is at death. When you die, whoever inherits the property will have a full step up in basis.
I go to bed tonight feeling fine. Tomorrow I wake up dead.
Full step up in basis.
Whatever the value of this place that I'm sitting in right now goes to my beneficiary deed of trust indicator, they take the property at that value and the new depreciation.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. Again, and I'm not, this is a Michael Bailey question more than anything. I'm still one that I think, Bob, if you had enough other assets at time of death going to that individual that's your beneficiary, if it's over 12 million, they're going to owe the estate tax.
No, wait. Other assets have nothing to do with this property that I'm sitting in right now talking to you. This is totally different. If I file a beneficiary deed of trust and I kick the bucket overnight tonight, my beneficiary takes the property at time of death, and that is the new basis for depreciation.
Okay.
Believe me.
Sure. It doesn't matter to me because I'm not there yet and don't have anybody that I know that's that way, and I would have to check with again, folks, don't take my word, don't take Bob's word. This is something you will have to talk to an estate planner on because I'm not the expert on that, Bob.
Okay.
Thanks, Bob. Appreciate it. Yeah, and please, yeah, for all of you listening, and even the gals here will tell you that these are technical questions that in your unique situation, you've got to talk to a estate planner in the case of what Bob's saying. And in the case of even selling your own home and the capital gains there, you need to talk to an accountant, which again, most of you have. But if you don't, the girls can always send you someplace that can help you along those lines. And they've got documents that can even help you out as well. But bottom line, what I'm really getting at is I'm more worried about when you're alive.
Yeah,
what you do in your estate and all that's a whole other conversation.
And when you pass, the whole estate goes into probate, and that everything is assessed then, everything, including your home.
So a whole different conversation.
And that's a completely different ball field of what we're talking about here today.
Yeah, what I'm trying to get people to understand is your ability to build wealth.
Okay? Yes.
And what I mean by that is, because a lot of folks will say, well, if you don't take it out of your house, you haven't built any wealth, it's just sitting in the house. Well, what I'm saying is, depending upon how you do this, you could pull the money out and go put it into another investment or the bank or under your mattress for all I care.
Yep.
If you do this correctly, and because you don't have to buy a more expensive home to have this recognized gain that's free of taxes.
And this is really great for empty nesters because they don't need
six
bedrooms.
Yes. So let's say you're at that stage where your house, maybe you paid, I know of a situation where you could have paid $50,000 for the house back in the 60s. It's now worth $2 million. Hey, it happens, folks. I'm not exaggerating what I just said. Now what happens is, there's no age limit, by the way. I don't care if you're 80. You're going to pay taxes over the $500,000 if you're moving down now, like Robin just said. Now, you can take all that other money, still go put it someplace. That's tax-free because you paid the tax on that capital gains for that difference that we're talking about in this particular scenario. But in your case, Robin, let's say that you're right around that threshold. You've got about $500K in total equity. You sell the house and you decide you want to step down, go half the size of a home you have now. Whatever that extra money is that you don't need for the next house,
well,
put it wherever you want to.
I think it's great planning for seniors or empty nesters because, you know, I look at my parents' house. They had a four-bedroom house upstairs. All the bedrooms were upstairs. And in their end days, neither of them could go upstairs. And think about so many folks who have a house like that. They can sell it, buy a one-story, much smaller house, which is a smaller footprint, smaller maintenance.
Smaller everything.
Less property taxes.
Everything.
Yes,
everything.
And they can take the extra money they've gotten tax-free and supplement their retirement.
I'll give you another scenario if we have time in a moment. Tito, real quick, and I know we got to go to break too, but go ahead, Tito.
Hey, John. Hey, ladies. Good afternoon. I have a question. I bought a house about a year ago in Florida. I don't live there. And I already hear about the first and second year, no capital gains taxes on that house. Is there, I've been
reading
about
it. Only if it's your primary residence, Tito.
But right, he can
so
do
that's
it.
A question that I have for you. If you rent it out, though, is that considered that you live in there or something like that?
No,
or
it's not a primary residence then.
No.
You could, like Catherine just said, you could 1031 exchange that around and avoid some tax, but you can't just sell it and pocket the money.
Yeah, you could put it into a 1031 exchange and sell the property in the Florida, and then you have to trade it for property in maybe buying Colorado for a similar or a like property.
Keywords there, Catherine just said, like for like. You can't take the residence and go buy a commercial property.
Yeah, exactly.
You can't. Now, you could buy, in Tito's case, if it's a single family home and you want to go buy a duplex, yes, that counts. Yeah. But you can't take that home and then exchange it into a commercial building.
Yeah, it will have to
stay. To be like.
We're presuming you're talking of a residential property here. So if you wanted to move your asset or your money or investment that you have, then you'd do a 1031 exchange. You'd sell the property, and then you'd identify three possible properties in Colorado you might want to purchase. And then you go ahead and purchase that property, and then that is an investment property as well. And only you can get that gain back that we were talking about, the $500,000 or $250,000 if you're single, is if you go and then reside in that property after a period
of
time.
That's right. Exactly.
But I think the important thing is on the $500,000 rules, number one, you have to be the owner. You own the property.
Yes.
Number two, it has to be your principal residence. And then number three, to claim the exemption, $250,000 or $500,000, you have to have had it as your principal residence two of the last 5 years. So every 2 years, as John said, you can do it. But if you've done it in the past 2 years, you got to wait for another two-year period.
Now, the one more thing I want to add to that, too, before we go to break is, and lots of text questions, I'll try to get all those answered as well, so bear with me. The other thing that folks forget is as, and Bob was correct in this, even in just the sale. So let's say you even downsize. We use Robin's example a moment ago.
Correct.
So let's say you've got a house, you paid $250,000, it's worth $750,000 today, there's a $500K, it's tax-free, and you go buy a $500K home instead of a $750,000. Well, let's say, though, that over time, that $500,000 becomes another $750,000. So now there's a $250,000 there. The new basis was the $500,000 you paid versus what you sold. The last one is gone and done.
Yep.
That equity is already done, handled, spent. Now, if you want to roll that into the next property and then have a higher basis on a higher priced home, knock your socks off. You can do whatever you want to there, but every single time you buy a home, the price you paid plus those improvements we talked about earlier is your basis, period. Forget about the last deal. Mm-hmm. You're working off of what you paid for this deal.
It's like resetting the clock. You're starting over again.
Correct. Yep. That's the other misconception I think a lot of folks have. So you get where this wealth building comes in, because let's say you make $500,000 and you do roll it into either a similar house or one that's maybe a little bigger in a different part of town or whatever, or more land or whatever the case may be. Your basis steps up so that the next time you sell, it'll be a larger dollar amount, but it still becomes that $500K exemption.
Correct.
Yes.
Every single time.
Yes.
Let me make sure I'm clear on that. All right. Well, got to take a break. We'll be right back. This time went by fast, by the way. We'll have you guys back. Never fear. American National Insurance is next. My insurance agent, which all of what we're talking about has to have insurance as well. Paul would love to help you out with that, and he'll save you money at the same time. 303-662-0789.
You are responsible for making sure that you are properly insured, but you're not alone. While Paul Leuenberger believes in personal accountability, he wants to make sure he's setting you up for success as your home and auto insurance agent. Paul will teach you about how you can save money on your premium while being fully covered in case of a loss. Your insurance should be for emergencies, not petty cosmetic issues. Insurance is not a coupon, your bank account, or for maintenance. Paul Leuenberger will tell you that your insurance is for emergencies. And when you work with Paul, you'll be rewarded for your diligence. Ask him about their incentivizing rebate program. Take a higher deductible and take responsibility. It's just one of the ways they can afford to keep their rates low. Take control of your life. Take responsibility for your insurance coverage. Call Paul Leuenberger with American National Insurance now at 303-662-0789. That's 303-662-0789.
All right, really quick. And by the way, on all of that probate thing and all that we were talking about a moment ago, Robin's got more information on that as well. But honestly, best thing to do, Michael Bailey Law, he's coming up next. He's the guy to call. He can answer all those questions. And again, every one of these will be unique to you and your family and the heirs and so on. This is where he comes into play, and let him help you plan all of that out. KLZradio.com, 720-394-6887.
Protect your kids from the guesswork. Without a clear legal document describing your wishes, your kids may be left trying to interpret what mom would want them to do. Instead, tell them clearly what mom does want by writing it down with Michael Bailey Law. KLZ's mobile estate planner understands how life can get in the way, so he's made the process as painless as possible. Book a virtual appointment online. Find a link to Michael Bailey's website at klzradio.com/estate.
All right. I was just talking to the ladies about Dave Hart. He is on that side of the fence when it comes to real estate and roofs, and whether it's a repair or a major replacement or the RoofMax coating, which will extend the life of your roof. You name it, Dave can do it all. RoofMax, 303-710-6916, or find him at rushtoreason.com.
When it comes to something as large and expensive as your roof, you should avoid replacing it. Roof rejuvenation from RoofMax reactivates the seal strips on your shingles, making them more leak-proof and more secure in a storm and tougher to damage. Dave Hart at RoofMax is an expert in extending the life of your roof. Roof replacements are more expensive for you and often completely unnecessary. When your damage is too severe to qualify for roof rejuvenation, he can handle a repair or full roof replacement. But don't spend unnecessary money when you can extend and improve the quality of your roof for less money. You can revisit roof replacement after rejuvenation, because it adds 5 more guaranteed years of life. And you will have time to budget for total replacement when you actually need it, since rejuvenation can potentially add 15 to 20 years to the life of your roof. Call Dave Hart at RoofMax today. 303-710-6916. Again, 303-710-6916.
An absentee-owned business is better than one you need to work every day. When it comes time to sell your company, the potential buyer doesn't want to have to work there. They want it to run itself. You need to think about your future and the future of your company. When you're a small business owner, you keep big business in check. You're a vital part of the local and national economy. Your responsibility as a small business owner is to be an active participant in the planning of your business. If you don't know how to plan for the future, that's okay. Call John Rush. He can show you how to make your business more profitable or even sellable, if that's the plan. Email John at rushmediainc.com for a free 1-hour consultation.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Fast hour, by the way, with the ladies, K&R Home Transitions. Find them at knrhometransitions.com. And I say it all the time, you get two for the price of one. But really, as you can tell, these are ladies that will help you with the purchase of, the sale of, buying an investment property, or you just want some advice on what should I do. I heard you guys talking on the radio, and yes, I've got some great equity in my home. Maybe I should tap into that. That's where you guys can come into play and help them, right?
Absolutely. Again, it's your largest investment. You want to buy low, sell high,
and
you want to avoid
make it,
a bad one.
Yep, and you want to make it work for you.
Yep, and I also know, I'm not that cold-hearted. I know you got to live in it, okay? I get
yes.
that. So you want to have a nice place to live as well, but trust me, I'm living proof. You can do all of this and still have a nice home to live in at the end of the day. Yeah, you're going to move a little.
Yeah. Okay.
That's the downside. Yeah. You're going to move a little bit.
And when you look at what's happening in the market today and everything else, interest rates, this is a great way to grow your wealth.
I agree. All right. Again, K&R Home Transitions. Call the lady, 720-437-8210, or go right to the website, knrhometransitions.com. But if you're driving and you forget any of that, rushtoreason.com has all their information on it. It's really easy. Just go there and you'll find them. Guys, we'll be right back. Hour number three is next. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.